and I will make myself known to him. And through my spirit, I will bilocate myself, just as I bilocate myself from heaven into every host that is consecrated. The body, the blood, the soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ is bilocated into every host. And then Jesus says, I want to bilocate from the host into every human being. Because the host cannot say, I love you. The host is inanimate. It actually makes Jesus suffer because he's there and he's trying to express himself. He's trying to get out and the host can't do anything. So he says, I want to go from the host into you because you can say, I love you. You can receive me. You can praise me. You can worship me. You can adore me. You can glorify me and I can be glorified in you. I want to conceive myself in you again. I want to live again in you, literally, through the Holy Spirit. You can know me. But you got to get rid of all sin. You got to get rid of everything in your life that is not of me so that I can enter. And then you've got to invite me in. And you have to move profoundly into prayer. Like I said last week, I think the monks spend 6, 7, 8 hours a day in prayer. God does not ask that of me. I'm a parish priest. He asks me for 3 hours a day. He asks you for 1 hour a day. I have to ask myself, Father Chuck, are you disciplining yourself to spend? This is 1 hour. This is 1 hour of prayer for me. And the liturgy of the hours and the rosary and just quiet contemplative time with the Lord. And oftentimes my prayer is sitting out on my patio and just looking at nature. And I contemplate God. And he's asking you for 1 hour, for 1 hour. He said to his apostles, I give you 24 hours a day. You can't even give me 1 hour? Stay awake for 1 hour? It's not too much to ask. And so we must move profoundly into prayer. And that's why Peter says, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Make a decision. Once and for all, that Jesus Christ will be at the center of your heart, which means he's at the center of your being, because your heart is you. It's your being. He will be at the center of your life, which means he will be the umbrella over your entire life. He will decide all of your decisions. He will guide you in all things. In your work life, in your prayer life, in your worship life, in your sexuality, in your sports, in your raising of your kids, you're a father, you're a mother, in your work life, Lord, lead me on, lead me on. That's what Peter is asking us to do, and he knows what he's talking about because he himself lived with Jesus for 3 years, and he knew what it was like to not live in the Holy Spirit. Before Pentecost, before the Spirit came, and Peter himself experienced his own weakness when he denied Jesus 3 times. He experienced his pride when he said, I will die with you. And then he experienced his weakness when he denied him. And then he experienced Jesus' mercy when Jesus says, I forgive you 3 times. And then he experienced the love of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. So he knows what he's talking about. And that's what he's saying. Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. And then study your faith enough to know to be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks of you for a reason for your hope. And so, he's not asking for as much prayer from me as he is from the monks in Vina. He's not asking for as much study from me as he does from the professors at the seminary. Down in Menlo Park, who are training our seminarians, he's not asking as much study from you as he is from me, because he knows you have families and you have jobs, but he is asking for study from you. And so give yourself that 10 minutes a day for your study, 1 hour a day of prayer, 10 minutes a day to study. Probably one of the best places to go is Catholic Answers. Google Catholic Answers, they dedicate themselves to answering your questions. So you can just put in the search bar, you know, why does God exist? What are reasons for God's existence? Because atheists are going to say to you, why do you believe in God? You need to have an answer. I know that the first law of thermodynamics says that something material cannot create itself out of nothing. Therefore, logically, science tells me God exists. I need to be able to at least explain that to them, to an atheist, and have answers. Why do you believe in God? Why do you believe Jesus is God? Catholic answers, why is Jesus God? Do you guys worship Mary? We need to be able to answer those kinds of questions, right? What do you guys mean when you say Jesus is really there? What do you mean by that? Like those kinds of basic questions that people have about our faith. And so sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Remove everything. Sanctify him in your hearts. And always be ready to give an explanation to anyone for a reason for your hope. So that you can help others to come into his love, into this new life in Christ. Basically, you're coming into the heart of your Heavenly Father. And then when we think about the heart of God here on earth, I think of mothers. I think of mothers. It's a mother's heart. God is person. God is love, so that means God is heart. And when I think of human beings, I think of a mother. When I think of heart, a human heart, I think of a mother. To me, I've always believed that the feminine heart is more closely aligned naturally with God's heart than the male heart. So by nature, I think women are more loving and they're more relational than men because God is heart and heart loves and heart wants to hear, I love you back. That's why he doesn't want to be in the host. He wants to be in us and hear that echo, I love you. I live for you. And Jesus says, I love you, and I live for you. Fusion. And that's a mother. She wants relationship, and she works to keep relationships together. Men, we kind of don't mind breaking relationships. Yeah, I haven't talked to that guy in 20 years. So what? He's okay. I'm okay. It's kind of like breaking relationships. It's kind of no big deal. But for a woman to break relationship, it makes her cry. To see her family suffering or her kids not getting along or not doing well with her husband, it hurts her at her core because she is relational. She wants to keep the family together. And so she tries to not fight with her husband in front of the kids. And if she does correct him, she tries to do it in a way, you know, honey, try not to be so hard on the kids. Try not to be quite so hard on the kids. And she'll remind him of that ugly tie that her little six-year-old gave him at his last birthday and say, why don't you wear that tie? Your six-year-old, I hate that tie. I know, but your six-year-old, you know, your son will really like it if you wear that tie. He'll remember. Because that's what she remembers, relationship. She always allows her little ones to interrupt her. You know, oh my gosh, with all their stuff, all day long, they're interrupting mom. And she lets them, and she puts up with it. Just like Jesus put up with his little ones, with his disciples. And then when her little ones become teenagers, oh my gosh, the disrespect we show our moms when we're teenagers. It's sad. If we knew how much we hurt them, we just don't know it as teenagers, right? We think we know everything. And we disrespect our moms. And they put up with so much from us. And one thing you have to do as husbands, fathers, is one of your jobs is to protect your wives from the disrespect of their children, of your children, because they will disrespect her. They won't disrespect you so much because you're big, you're strong, you have muscles, and they can beat you up like that. But mom, she'll take it. She'll take it. So dad, you have to put yourself in between your kids' disrespect and your mom and their mom. And you say, hey, that is my wife you're talking to. And that is your mother. She is our queen. You respect her. And they'll learn. They'll learn. But if you've never taught them that, and then all of a sudden at 16, you're going to teach them that, good luck. You start young. You start young, right? That's where we start. And so, mothers, how much you put up with from us. Mothers, they always remember birthdays and anniversaries because they're relational. And they're the one that gets the card and writes in the card. And then they're the one that takes the card to the husband and says, hey, it's your uncle's birthday. Put something in the card. Hi. Have a good birthday. Bye. And that's how it works. But it's the mom that does that. And then it's the mom that always thinks of something a little special, right? Something a little extra. They'll really like this. I'm going to put this in there, or I'll add this to it. She's always thinking of how to make it a little bit special. Relationship. Mothers keep their hearts soft so that the world will not become hard. And moms typically, you look around churches, there's a lot more women than men typically, because moms are relational. Women are relational. So they want relationship with God. They're more open to God than usually we are as men. Imagine the world without mothers. It would be Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather all over again. I don't know if you remember, about 10 years ago, 2015, it was the biggest prize fight in the history of, as far as money goes. And Floyd Mayweather, Manny Pacquiao. And Floyd Mayweather made $250 million on that fight. And Manny made $150 million. So $400 million they were paid to try to hit each other so hard to make the other go unconscious. And we're going to give you $400 million because we're all going to pay per view. We're all going to pay to watch this. That's where you're going to get all the money. And the promoters, the companies will pay all this. And without moms, the world would be Mayweather Pacquiao, because that's what we men do. We fight. So you keep it soft. And I thought about that. Who has the more important job? Mayweather Pacquiao? To hit the other person super hard, or to be a mother? A mother can do something no other human being can do. Create something out of nothing. Only God can do that. That's why we believe in God, because He created the universe out of nothing. And a woman can do that. Not without God, but with God. She is a co-creator. At the moment of a conception of a child, God doesn't have a soul up there in heaven that He pulls out of a cupboard and puts it down there. He creates a soul out of nothing. At the moment of your conception, you didn't exist. Not your body, not your soul, nothing. And at that very moment, the DNA combined and you began to physically exist. And at that same moment, God, out of nothing, created a human soul. Your soul is your intellect, your memory, and your will that runs throughout your body. It's what makes you alive right now. And that's why when you die, your memory, your intellect, and your will, your soul leaves your body, and your body stops functioning. And that's, in a very real sense, for every conception that happens, the universe is changed forever. Because something that did not exist, you, now exists. At every conception. And a woman does that. To me, that's worth more than $400 million. We gave all that money to Mayweather and Pacquiao. We should be giving it to moms. Yeah. They do the most important thing there is on earth. And I did the math. If we gave, ladies, how much would you like, what would you like to earn for being mothers a year? Is $50,000 enough? That's not a big salary today. But is $50,000 enough for being a... You want more? Okay. But you're going to have to settle for $50,000 because that's the math I did. So $400 million, okay, divided by $50,000 per mom, that's 8,000 moms. We could pay 8,000 moms to raise amazing families that are going to create an amazing society, a godly society. Because it all starts with marriage and family. It all starts with male and female and marriage and children. It all starts and ends with family. But ladies, don't get your hopes up. I don't think we're going to be paying you. I don't think there are any companies out there that are going to put up $400 million so that you can be great moms. So you're not going to get paid for it. But we will pay you. We will appreciate you. And I hope that your husbands will appreciate you and pay you back with their respect, with their honor, and with their service towards you. And we as a church, we honor you and pay you back today by thanking you for everything that you do. And then for mothers who have lost a child, your child died, They say that's the hardest thing to go through. The most pain you can experience in this life is losing your child. And so for all those who have lost a child, you are in our prayers. And then mothers who have miscarried, and that's losing a child also. That's painful. And so we also pray for you. And then for mothers who could never conceive, you know, that wanted to be mothers or want to be mothers, but they can't conceive. And they try to adopt. And sometimes adoption can be very difficult. But we want you to know that you are in our prayers as well. And you are always a mother, even if you have lost a child or you can't conceive. You know, Mother Teresa, she never got married. She never had children. She never adopted. And yet, there was a reason we called her mother. She was Mother Teresa. She mothered thousands, tens of thousands of people throughout her life. Because a mother's heart is a mother's heart. Whether you're married with children or whether you're single or you still have a mother's heart. And you're always a mother. And so always see yourself, I am a mother. I am a mother. And everyone is my children. That's how I see myself. I see myself as a father. A father. And I have a lot of kids. And they drive me nuts. But, you know, that's okay. You love them anyway. And I'm a spiritual father. And so I do have a fatherhood. And I don't feel incomplete in any way because I'm a father of many, not of three or four or five or six. I would have probably had six kids if I was married, I think, with a good job, right? And so, So thank you to our mothers, and we pray with you and for you. And I'll finish with Mary's message, our beloved mother, our heavenly mother who loves us so much. And it's just Peter was trying to get the people to consecrate Christ in their hearts. That was 2,000 years ago. Today, Mary is still trying because we're still not doing it. That's why God still is trying to come to the earth. Mom, go down and tell them again. They're not consecrating themselves. To us, we can see that we are not in the human family's heart. And so it's up to each one of us. And Mary is here telling us, children, open your hearts. Open your hearts. Let my son come in. And so she said last month in Medjugorje, dear children, I am praying for you. At this moment, your heavenly mother, Mary, is praying for you. I am praying for you and encourage you to a new life. A life in joy and prayer. May the Holy Spirit fill you, little children, with joy, so that you may be like a spring of pure and drinkable water, that you, little children, may be in God, and with God, missionaries of love and peace. Your life is short here on earth. Yesterday we celebrated Joe DeDuca's funeral, 97 years old. And yet, he's gone. It doesn't matter how long you live. It's going to, poof, be gone. Your life is short here on earth. And that is why I am with you to lead you towards heaven. Thank you for having responded to my call. That's how she ends her messages. Because she has confidence that we will respond, that we will consecrate the Lord in our hearts. I believe.